teaching your Hatchimal to dance. To teach your Hatchimal how to dance, cycle through the menu until you hear dance music and her eyes turn purple. Tap her head or wait 3 seconds to enter dance mode. Now it's time to boogie.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
That's right, and you are listening to the Robbie on the Rock show right here every week around midnight if you're in L.A., but maybe you're streaming and you're hearing it somewhere else. I could be on later or I could be on earlier. Who knows?
If you show up, it's going down.
Everywhere I turn, there's poop. Can't escape the poop. It's like everywhere I turn, poop, poop, poop. Thank God I didn't wear designer today.
TGIF, right, guys?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're a murderer, Kevin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's all fake news. It's all fake news.
Roll another one.
Bro, are you kidding me?
Just like the other one.
Yes, do the clam.
This one seems to be about to quit.
All right, this is not a productive conversation.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Roll another one.
I've been smoking weed since I'm 18.
Just like the other one.
This is awkward, guys, huh?
This one seems to be about.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Am I still here?
I don't have another cent.
3 years will be 2020, so the roaring 20s will be back.
I'm a Nazi. Join my team.
Just pass it around.
I'm sorry for
this.
Sometimes it just sucks to suck.
And now,
stupid, offensive, callous, and demeaning the station.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 1st of December.
Rabbit, rabbit.
White rabbit, white rabbit. Okay. Check. You know, you didn't do that for
well, then it
26
came back up,
years.
Mm. Right, but then it came back up, and now.
Right, but I'm saying since you didn't do it for 26 years and everything was okay.
I mean, that's a thing now, though.
But it doesn't have to be, though.
Allie, I want to hear more about this burrito from yesterday because I've rarely heard you as excited about a food item as you were about this burrito yesterday.
Listen, I haven't been eating well.
Mm-hmm.
Had some stomach issues.
Right. Okay.
Can we skip
past
that?
Okay. Can we skip past that?
Wasn't sure if you wanted to delve.
Okay. No.
So we had ordered some food and I, you know, wasn't sure what to get. It's going to be eaten a little later. So I got this burrito, mm-hmm. potato, bacon,
mm-hmm.
egg,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Because I don't do cheese.
Right.
And quite frankly, beans with bacon, it just didn't make sense.
Right.
So I went with that.
Okay. Sounds like a pretty simple burrito.
Simple burrito. What would you... Okay, you had that burrito.
Right.
Good for you. Let's move on with your life. I can't, you guys. Because that burrito was life-changing.
It was transcendent.
It was the best burrito I have had in my life.
Now, Kevin knows where I'm going with this.
Oh, is it the Disneyland burrito?
I respect what you're saying so much because I know maybe not everybody has been lucky enough to experience what Allie's talking about, but there is a time and a place where you have a food item.
Yeah.
And it changes the way you look at the world and the way you think about yourself because it just is so good you can't believe it's real.
Yeah, see, you had a actual burrito with, like, you know, filling and good stuff. I just had something that just
hit the right spot at the right time.
I don't think it literally is the best thing I'll ever eat in my life.
But
like
that's
Bean
because
does.
You're not Bean, because when he finds something that he likes 5%,
yeah,
it's the best burrito he's okay. ever had in his
untrue.
Life.
Untrue. Untrue. That there was something, there was some sort of magic dust in that Disneyland burrito yeah. that yeah. day that was a one of a kind, and I've never experienced anything like it. That was
yeah.
the one of the five high points of my life. That was that was euphoria is what it was.
Is that what you're going to be thinking about on your deathbed?
It's very. It's probably going to cross my mind is, oh, man, that burrito.
In like, 3 or 4 years?
Look, life was hard, yeah. but at least I got that burrito.
You said euphoric.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I, what I'm saying is mm-hmm. I respect what you went through yesterday.
Thank
and
you.
I'm not mocking at all like some. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to mock. we were in a meeting, and we didn't really want to be in the meeting, but mm-hmm. we were in a meeting, and there was a desperation level there.
Yeah.
Where we were all pretty much gagged and people were talking and no one would stop talking.
Well, yeah. especially by the second hour.
And then there was more talking and talking. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then after that, there was talking. And so I was watching Allie's face and she was just – the food was in the room.
Yeah. And I'm trying to catch the guy's eye. Like, you feel free to pass it around.
Right. Dude,
people are going to keep talking.
This meeting will continue, but the food's right there. I thought Allie was yeah. going to marine crawl across the floor and get her burrito because she needed it so badly.
But then I straight up interrupted who was talking, and I was like, you can hand those out.
Yeah, she's awesome. She just couldn't control herself any longer.
Now, let me say one more thing about the meeting that may still be going on. I don't know. Some of
it's
just passed
possible.
Out. But Kevin participated in the meeting and mm-hmm. spoke a little more than was necessary, I'd like to say.
Really?
He spoke on more than one occasion.
You did.
But
yes.
How long did I talk total?
Oh,
less
I don't know.
Less than 30 seconds.
Thank you.
I was going to say around a minute between the yeah. two different times, but it was still it added a minute to the meeting. I'd like to point out that I never said a word.
You never said a word, and
not
we
word.
All thought you were gone. And we laughed that you were asleep.
Oh, Bean, at one point, Dave said, "What?" Dave, the King of Mexico, said, what do you think, Bean? And the whole meeting stopped.
Silence.
Yeah, and I said on the phone, what made you think I had something to say, Dave?
No, we didn't
we
hear
didn't
that.
We didn't hear it, so
oh,
we
really?
All joked that you were asleep.
So we looked. Everyone in the room looked at the phone that you were on, and nothing came out of it, and we all just laughed and moved on. We were like, I don't blame him.
And then when the meeting finally ended, we just hear, bye. From the phone.
Yeah, I feel like what happens is Bean is connected, mm-hmm. but then he'll stand up and walk out and take care
For
of things
sure.
in the house and go
Absolutely.
Get some chocolate milk and do something. He doesn't hear 99% of it. And then the next day he's like, what are you guys talking about? No one ever said anything about that.
I wish that were the case. I listened to every long, painful word of that meeting.
Well,
it was I was on mute, so you know, you guys couldn't hear me vacuuming and stuff, but I was listening.
I told you. I knew it. Bean, I will say, in your defense, though, when you speak up at meetings, I do harass you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the rule. Shut yeah. your mouth and just let the meeting end.
Yeah.
So, my bad.
So appropriate for me to bring up
yeah.
that maybe you contributed a little extra. You put a little time on the clock yourself.
Yes, yesterday. I did.
But I'm happy to say no one on this show spoke for 40 minutes at a time like other shows did. If I could just 40 minutes of nonstop talk from some of our hosts. But we're fine. We survived it. And Allie got a great burrito out of it.
I feel like that was a filibuster.
It was a little bit.
Come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
All right. I'm going to save the thing for Monday and let you move on and do your part.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
You are responsible for this monstrosity.
That's true. Hmm. Keep it 100 because it's
yeah.
Friday. Allie's very excited about one thing today, one thing only, and that would be Ben Bailey.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to be on the show today talking about cash cabs.
Seriously?
Now, cash cab's been gone for at least a couple of years, right, Allie?
That's forever.
At least, yeah.
Yes.
And Allie's been talking about it every day since.
Listen, it's exciting.
Right.
True or false that you've been to New York and wandered the streets like a homeless woman just hoping the cash cab would pull up?
Turning down other cabs.
Have allowed cabs to pass me by because I knew they weren't vans, which is what the cash cab would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's ask Ben today for some tips on how to make sure you get to where the cash cab is.
Yes.
Also on the program today, we have RJ Bell taking a look at week 13 of the NFL. Mm-hmm. We have one of our favorites of all time, Ming-Na Wen.
Love her.
Coming in studio talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season premiere.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in space, you guys. Come on.
Oh, it's been back and forth on different planets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy and great. And Bean makes his guess also on today's show. Plus, we've got tickets for Father Figure, and we've got tickets for WWE.
And we've got tickets for the Acoustic Christmas as well. So that's all coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Two more chances for you to join us next weekend. Is it next weekend already for Acoustic Christmas?
Next weekend, yeah.
Those shows sold out at the Forum. Holy moly.
A week from tomorrow.
Muse and 30 Seconds to Mars and Queens of the Stone Age and Morrissey and the Killers and Weezer and all the rest. We'll tell you how. It's coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Yesterday was Ralph Garman's last day, as many of you know by now, so it's very weird right now to not see him bounding through the door to take a look at the entertainment news. So we're going to take turns today filling in on the doing the showbiz. And I feel like the pressure is off because, according to our social media, no one is listening anymore.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We don't really have to worry. We're just basically talking to each other.
Now,
so we can't really screw it up, right?
Instead of the camera sound effect, do you mind if I use this?
Girl, holla! Would you not, though? Could I request, perhaps?
Like,
I don't
in
know.
In between stories?
Oh, come on.
You finish one story, and then...
Girl, holla! Rapper DMX is in the news for two different reasons this week. Now, Kevin, I mentioned this to you off the air. We didn't get to it on the air. Have you heard his version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I have not.
DMX?
Okay. DMX, yes. he did it. I remember when the video went viral a couple years ago. He was doing an interview at a rap station, and it might have been Power 105 in New York or someplace. And for whatever reason, I don't know how, he ended up kind of doing a off-the-cuff, in-the-hallway version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it went viral. So this year, he decided to record his own version of it. Why? I don't know. But I'm going to play some of it for you, and you guys tell me thumbs up or thumbs down on DMX and his version of this holiday classic, all right? You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, yep. Comet yep. and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that? The most famous reindeer of all.
What do you think so far?
Yes. Love. Yes.
All in. All right. Let's hear some more.
Come on. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. Come on. Come on.
Still in?
Yes. Yes.
More. A little more.
Yep. Love the other reindeer. You still have to call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer game.
Now, where does this fall on the discussion that we had just this week about how there are 10 Christmas songs that everybody records over and over and over again, and we don't ever need another version of them?
Right. This is the exception. Yes.
This is the exception.
That's the rule. Your... This is the exception.
All right. I mentioned there were two reasons that DMX was in the news. That's the first. The second
Girl,
one...
holla!
Same story.
Sorry.
The second one is he better hope that we like that song and that we stream it about a billion times, because he pled guilty yesterday to tax fraud.
Oh.
He admitted to not reporting money that he earned so that he would not have to pay $1.7 million in back taxes. He could get up to 5 years in prison. So this could be his last ever record for a while. Anyway, he'll be
what
sentenced.
What if this
on...
is literally his last record ever?
What a legend!
Right?
Yeah.
This is what he'll be remembered for.
Yes.
He will be sentenced on March the 29th. So we'll see what happens with DMX.
Girl, holla!
Kevin, your favorite Bette Midler is in the news right now.
Yeah.
She is a phenomenally successful entertainer and has been for 50 years. She currently has the number 2 grossing show on Broadway as she stars in Hello, Dolly! Right now. But the reason she's in the news right now is because of all these sexual harassment stories that have been coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to her that she was also sexually assaulted by someone who has never paid the price for it and has never even apologized to her for it. And that person was Geraldo Rivera.
Is that right?
She is demanding an apology. He, by the way, has not looked good through the news cycle of the last few weeks. Ali, you probably saw this. Didn't he come out in defense of Matt Lauer early in the week and talk about how flirty the news business is?
The news business is flirty. If it wasn't, so many people wouldn't have successful marriages out of it. There should be a time just where you're allowed to say, I was harassed, a time frame. You have to come forward immediately or within 5 years. He had very strict rules.
Where was he just making them up?
Yeah.
He may have
it's
been
almost
making...
like something was coming.
Uh-huh. It's almost like he knew that he might be next on the in the crosshairs.
A preemptive strike?
So Bette Midler has been talking about it, and in fact, she found a video clip of an interview that she did. It is an undated clip of her sitting down in an interview with Barbara Walters, and she posted that to her social media yesterday, and here's her description of what Geraldo did. And by the way, this is not an Al Franken grab my butt in a photo shoot. This is straight up sexual assault. Listen to this.
Geraldo and his producer came to do an interview with me in the 70s, the early 70s, and this was when he was very sort of hot. And he and his producer left the crew in the other room. They pushed me into my bathroom. They broke two poppers and pushed them under my nose and proceeded to grope me. And I didn't have any idea. Grope me. I did not offer myself up on the altar of Geraldo Rivera.
I mean, that is a straight up, wow. In my mind, yeah. Attempted rape.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And no comment that I have been able to find from Geraldo yet, but good for Bette Midler for putting that out there.
Holla!
I can't.
You can, Dean. You can.
One more. Kevin, I'm sure you and I know Chip were a fan of the Hellboy movies.
Yes.
That was Ron Perlman, right?
That and Hellevator, both.
Well, the Hollywood Reporter says that there is a reboot of Hellboy in the works. I can't picture. Look, there are some actors that just become so iconic, and I know this is dumb because everything gets remade. Look how many Batmans there have been. But I can't picture anyone but Ron Perlman being Hellboy.
Same.
He's still a great actor. If they're making a new Hellboy movie, I feel like I want Ron Perlman to be in it. Having said that, guess who's going to be Hellboy, according to the Hollywood Reporter? Allie, your boyfriend, David Harbour.
Really?
The sheriff from Stranger Things, ladies and gentlemen.
It makes sense.
Hellboy.
Yeah.
And I can totally see that, too.
Huh.
Mia Jovovich is also going to be in the movie. Ian McShane, Daniel Day Kim, whom we love from Lost in Hawaii 5-0. So they're talking about making that reboot. It looks like it's on the fast track and will happen. So I'm going to give that one a chance. That could be pretty good.
Girl, holla!
Speaking of Lost and Daniel Day Kim, his co-star Nestor Carbonell, who's got a weird face, turns 50 today.
Really? That's your tribute for his birthday? He's got a weird face?
Have you seen him? You know what the guy I'm talking about?
No.
Actor-director Woody Allen turns 82 today. Lovely Emily Mortimer from The Newsroom and so much more, 46 years old today. Linkin Park's Brad Delson turns 40 today. And we were just talking about Bette Midler. She is 72. And our friend comedian Sarah Silverman turns 47. And that is the Showbiz News. You guys ready to play a little Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Brr. Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Brr. Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes us guess.
Yes.
Brr. As you guys know, it is the most wonderful time of the year, and hundreds of radio stations all over America have converted to all Christmas format, including Coast right here in Southern California. And I love it. Man, I love this time of year. I love flipping around and hearing all the Christmas music. It's like my happy time. Because I listen to Christmas music year-round anyway, but now I can listen to it everywhere.
A lot of people come up to us and say, is this true about Bean? This is very true about 365 days a year. He listens to Christmas music.
It doesn't take away from the specialness of the holidays?
No, it's special every time I hear these songs. I love it so much. But today's Bean Makes His Guess is about the most played Christmas songs in America. Now, these are this according to ASCAP, which is the the people who write the songs. And so it doesn't matter which version is being done of it. So it doesn't matter if the song is by Johnny Mathis or by Justin Bieber. They're going by the songs by the songwriters. Okay. You follow me?
Sure.
Yes.
So, you guys have flipped around. You know what the songs are that you get tired of hearing every single year. We're looking for the most played top 10 Christmas songs in America this holiday season.
All right. And
Kevin, we're going to let you go first. What say you?
This Christmas, I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
Is it Peek the Rodeo Clown? No, I'm so sorry, Kevin. That's not on the list. Beer Mug, you're up next.
I'm going to go Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Interesting you should say that.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and all its versions is number 4 on the list of the most played Christmas songs. Yes, from all the way back in 1958, by the way. And that song is still getting that.
How come Mugs can go all the way back to the original?
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I was very surprised.
Right?
Very surprised to hear him come up with that name, Brenda Lee, for sure. Miss Alamy Kate.
White Christmas.
I was stunned
that
White Christmas, listen to this, not only is White Christmas not in the top 10 most played Christmas songs in America, it's not in the top 25. Isn't that
what? That's insanity.
That is impossible.
I was surprised by that as well.
My guess is, oh, holy nookie.
Is it oh, holy nookie?
Oh, holy night?
I'm sorry, no. Let me see. Oh, holy night. There is no version of that in the top 25 as well.
Good.
Who's up next? Beer Mug.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time.
Backwards world. Going back to 1963. Yes, that is number 7 on the list. Well done, Beer Mug. Miss Ellen McKay.
What about just the old standard of Rudolph?
Of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I am going to say to you that that is number 10.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny...
That one goes back to 1949, by the way, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. All right, Kevin, you have, you're not on the board yet, technically.
Technically, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. You haven't made a pick that was in the top 10.
But in my heart, I am.
But you have another shot. You did win the electoral vote, though, so you got that going for you.
Winter Wonderland.
Let's see. Let me see if I can find me some Winterland. I'm sorry. It came in at number 12 on the list.
Come on!
Wow.
That was a good guess,
though. Take that as a win, because 12 is pretty close to 10.
Beer Mug.
Gotta go with Nat King Cole, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I'm sorry. Came in at number 15.
Ooh.
Again, not by any particular artist, just by everyone who sings it. That's number 15.
I was going to burn this place down if Mugs got three in a row.
Yeah, that would be insane. Yeah.
Miss Allen McKay.
It's one of my favorites. But I don't know how many other people love it, but I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I'll Be Home for Christmas is not on the top 25.
Oh, my goodness.
I think y'all are going to be surprised by some of these then, I guess. All right, we have time to go around a couple more times, maybe?
Jingle Bells. Mother effer.
Yeah.
Let me see. Where am I going to find some?
If it's not in there.
Jingle Bells is number 20.
Oh,
number 20 on the list, so I'm sorry. You don't get a point.
What are we missing? Most of the top 10 we're missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Muggs, you're in the lead right now. You want to add to that?
Let's go with White Christmas.
I believe that's already been said.
God damn it, I should listen.
I said that first.
How about Silent Night?
I guess White Christmas.
You're saying Silent Night, and I am saying, if I'm looking at this list correctly, I am saying no on Silent Night as well.
That's
I'm
so sorry.
I am drawing a blank on what the name of the song is, but Mariah Carey's big song.
Oh,
the
good.
Heck is that?
Yeah, I forgot.
All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. All I Want for Christmas is You.
There you go.
Only number one.
Wow.
The most played Christmas song in America, Mariah Carey. Yes, well done.
So it's
all right,
final
Kevin, we'll go around one more time.
Oh, one more time. Okay. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
I appreciate that you sang it for us. I think we should have made that the policy for all of them, is you must sing them. But no, I'm sorry, not on the list. Beer Mug, your last guess.
The song bordering a little on sexual harassment, Baby It's Cold Outside?
Maybe It's Cold Outside is number 21 on the list.
Wow, you don't have to frame it that way. It's a kind of a negative way to frame that.
It's kind of a rapey song, though. Muggs isn't wrong about that.
Okay.
Alan McKay, the final guest of the game, please.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming to... He actually is coming to town. And that is number 14 on the list,
damn
I'm sorry
it.
To say.
Wow, that's crazy.
All right, here's your top 10. Number 10 we mentioned was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Number 9 on the list was Sleigh Ride.
Just hear those sleigh bells tingling, ring, ting, tingling, ting.
All right. All number right. 8, did we do It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
You know, almost all of these songs are 40, 50 years old.
That one's from 1951,
this is insane.
Yeah. Muggs, you were right with number 7. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I think you also had number 6 was Jingle Bell Rock. Number 5 most played Christmas song in America is this one.
Aww. Oh, Wham, of course.
Then came Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Number 3 was this one.
Since we've no place to go.
Let it freaking snow.
And number 2.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Which, by the way,
it's the best time.
No one ever needs to hear again.
Agreed, all top 10.
And number 1 was Mariah Carey. So there you go. This has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
A half hour from now, we're going to talk to R.J. Bell with his NFL picks for Week 13. Oh, Dolphins plus 17. Can't miss. Put everything you own on it. Bet the house. Come on. Lose by 18. What's R.J. doing to us? Why are we having this man on?
That was close, though.
There are many ways to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show, and if there's one thing we've learned this week, it's that you know how to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. We're all over the social media with the Facebook and the Twitter with the Instagram, but you can also leave us a good old-fashioned voicemail message, too, with the Kevin and Bean Afro line. That number is 323-520-AFRO, 24/7. You call and tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and the B team. I just want to say I was really, really thankful you guys didn't take the whole week of Thanksgiving off. And that there were four shows to listen to. I'm a podcast listener. I won't tell you my whole life story, but the holidays are one of those difficult times of the year for me, and I always have to play some mental games to stay positive through it. And it was really great to have four podcasts that week that were original and that I could play through the holiday weekend. Thank you guys very much.
That is so sweet.
Weren't you waiting for but
yes.
the whole time?
But it's too bad those shows sucked so bad. I mean, I was waiting for something. I thought it would turn at the end there.
Right.
But that was a very kind compliment. And by the way, we don't mention this enough, but we do have podcast listeners all over the world. And we thank each and every one of you. It means a lot that you choose to listen to the program
it's
that way.
Kevin and Bean and also the B-Team podcast that guy was thankful for. I would like to point out that Ali was gone that whole week, though. I would like to point that out.
I would also like to point out that I don't know where he got four shows.
The B-Team.
Because of the B-Team.
B-Team podcast.
I wasn't listening.
So she's not here today either.
Apparently not.
The next one, look, we try to alter games. We try to come up with new games. And for the most part, on the first try, it's a complete failure.
Yeah, you guys really don't need to do another head-to-head contest of Just a Second again. Like, ever again.
I mean, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. This is for you, Bean.
Hey, have you ever been driving in your car and you fart so bad it makes your eyes burn? Oh, my gosh. It's like, crack the window, crack the window. And you're like, damn, I can't believe that just came out of me.
I don't need any descriptions about anyone's farts ever.
Okay, not a description. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Don't, please. That's Kevin. Not, no.
Is this going to be all fine?
No, it is not.
Okay.
I did graduate from college with a degree in English, and a lot of people find that quite funny.
Every time I'm reminded that Kevin graduated with a degree in English, I just laugh. And I'm just like, seriously? Like, F that school, right? Just, like, F it.
Kevin, do you know if your school, the college that you went to, still exists and if it is still accredited?
I believe it does and is.
Really? Because I feel
I don't
like
really keep
should,
in touch.
But
much.
I feel like they should have had their ticket pulled after you graduated.
I wasn't
right?
incredibly engaged with the school.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, in other words, you're not going back for a lot of alumni
Correct.
Reunions.
Okay. Not one, no. Just before Thanksgiving, we were doing a topic of ways Thanksgiving days went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And one girl called in and said that she was going to come out to her family at Thanksgiving. And I made a joke that I thought no one appreciated except for one person.
Holy Kevin. You just dropped the best joke of the day. You know what I'm thankful for? Vagina. I love it, dude.
All right.
This guy called.
Regular duck fan.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that so he doesn't? Are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Inside office.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was a moment
guys,
with
Kevin. Requesting his favorite moments with, right?
Is that how this thing's supposed to work?
1709.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say 1709. Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on.
What,
Lisa?
What?
I don't know.
Donovan.
I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but
saying,
that wouldn't be 17 either, would
why
it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I'm registering a complaint. It should not work like this.
I'm not drunk.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know, I don't even feel crappy. I feel pretty good.
You slept until 8. That's why.
Yeah. So.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
That was a moment with that Kevin. One.
But at least that's all of them.
They paint their faces red.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That's an all-timer. I went in and asked Omar, this guy called all at once, right? And then you just split him up to make it funny? And he said, absolutely not. This guy called, said a couple of words, and hung up.
That's it.
And then called back and called back and called back. It was all him.
Orbit.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
He wants to put his own satellites in space to prove that the Earth is flat.
Do satellites go in space?
Yeah. Of course they do.
Where do you think they go, Kevin?
Was that a legitimate question, Kevin?
No, I think they're in the orbit.
Where do you think the orbit is?
All right, let's move on.
Where do you think the orbit around a planet is?
In space, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And then he called back.
Gravity.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Gravity turns the ship around. Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable because what if when that doesn't happen?
Well, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But yeah, what if it doesn't turn the ship around?
It's a slingshot. Right.
But what if you keep going?
Well,
there's a lot of what ifs.
No.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in gravity
around the moon?
What does that even mean?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I meant orbit, but
terror situations.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in the terrorists. You know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was a moment with Kevin.
So we're disconnecting the Afro line. That was a great time while it,
lasted.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
In Las Vegas, RJ Bell talks NFL Week 13 coming up after the top of the hour. And then the lovely Ming-Na Wen will be joining us in studio. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back tonight with a big two-hour premiere for Season 5, you guys?
Yeah, I was a little surprised because I kept thinking throughout the fall,
when's it back?
When's it back? Right.
So that's crazy that it's
so late.
And
I'm going to get Ming-Na to admit that she has no idea what's going on in this series.
Oh, she knows.
You think?
Yeah, she knows.
Well, she is smarter than I am, but I'm telling you, there's a lot to keep track of. We are taking turns today looking at the showbiz news. I was last hour. Kevin, you're next hour, but I think it's Allie McKay's turn right now.
It is. And
can we use this?
Okay.
In between stories?
I mean,
is that cool?
Sure.
Okay.
If you need to. Okay. So, Ming-Na Wen is up next hour, which we can't wait. And most of us came to love her as Mulan, right?
Sure.
Back in the day, 1998 animated version, voice starring Ming-Na Wen, Eddie Murphy, B.D. Wong. Do you know how much that movie made worldwide? 1998.
I'm going to say
you have to be asking because it's a tremendous amount of money. That
you were
shock
surprised.
Us.
I feel like there weren't even in the 90s, I don't remember there being a lot of like $100 million movies like we're used to, you know, box office now. So I'm going to say that movie made $70 million.
I'm going to say $69,999.
Very close, Kevin. $304 million worldwide.
Wow.
$304 million. You know, Golden Globe and Academy Award nominations, no big deal.
Wow.
But the reason I'm bringing it up, there has been a year-long worldwide search for the new Mulan character. This is the live-action adaptation.
Okay.
And
this is the latest in we're taking an animated movie and making a live-action. Oh, very cool.
Yes. They have found her. Her name is Crystal Liu. She's a Chinese actress, and these casting directors visited 5 continents on nearly 1,000 candidates for the role. She needs to know martial arts. has to speak English, and they wanted an ethnically Chinese young woman to play Mulan. So they found this woman who apparently is a huge star. She broke out with a bunch of television dramas in the mid-2000s, has done a ton of movies. She's just got this, she's got the it factor, essentially. So apparently a really good get. And I cannot wait for this movie to come out.
All right. When is it coming out?
Yeah, good question. We're going to have to ask Ming-Na Wen, because I'm sure she gets like a Mulan Google alert, don't you think? I mean, she's Mulan.
She probably just knows.
She must
know. No alert. She just knows.
Let's just say. If they didn't contact her and say, listen, how about this girl? They're crazy.
Yeah, agreed.
Because she's Ming-Na Wen. Okay. This is for Kevin. We finally have a date. And it is Saturday, May 26th. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Saturday, May 26th.
You know what you're doing.
I don't.
You will be parked in front of the television. Why? Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will be saying their I do's at Windsor Castle on live television for the whole world to see. Again, Kevin, Saturday, May 26th.
I will say that it will be on in the house, I know for a fact.
Right.
And I'm going to the movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea about these numbers. Back in 2011, when his brother, Prince William, married his sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, how many people, you think, just here in America, watch that? Just in America. Two random people.
Two?
No, just they.
Just two people watch?
Yeah. No.
Oh. How many people? 20 million?
23 million.
That's crazy.
23 million Americans and 27 million Brits tuned in 2011. And their guess is that number is going to be so much bigger because Meghan Markle, she's one of us,
she's American,
right?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Super Bowl gets like 29 or 30,
yeah.
right?
Insane.
That got 23 million.
2011.
Wow. 23 Super
million.
Bowl gets around 100 million viewers.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you forgot a zero.
That was close.
Yeah. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. John Cena. Okay.
John Cena
is not on Ford's Christmas list right now because they were given him a $500,000 car. It's a Ford GT. And all he had to do was keep it for a couple years, drive it. And then guess what he did? He flipped it. He sold the car. So according to the lawsuit, he was selected from thousands of applicants for the opportunity to purchase the Ford GT. And he signed the deal. He had to hold on to the car for at least 2 years. Soon after, he flipped it for a pretty good profit. So obviously they're suing you, John. And he said, I sold the car. I had to pay some bills. What is happening with John Cena?
Is it possible he's just saying that as a way of deflecting? That he didn't really have to pay bills by selling it?
It's just bizarre.
Huh.
You sign a contract, you kind of have to...
Follow the contract?
Follow, yeah. But who knew that a Ford GT was $500,000?
Yeah, that's a crazy amount of money.
That is, absolutely.
Who knew John Cena would be having money problems?
Yeah, I think that
that's
might be
a surprise
a
to me
picture.
As well.
Yeah.
It's true. Hey, you guys, let's talk about some birthdays. It's Sarah Silverman. She's 47. Emily Mortimer is 46. Actor Riz Ahmed is 35. And Zoe Kravitz, oh my God, I love her, is 29 years old today. That was the showbiz.
Give me that theme song that means money to our listeners' ears.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Except for last week, RJ Bell on the line, founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider of the Associated Press, who joins us from Las Vegas each week at this time. RJ, I was trying to think back, and this is our fourth season together talking NFL. I don't remember if it's ever happened before, maybe one other time before where you went 0-3 on your on-air picks.
I know, it was tough. Can I speak honestly from the heart for a moment?
We assume you always do that.
Well, this is another level of honesty. I worry sometimes that I've made it look too easy. And let's be honest, producer Dave, I don't think it's lost on people. He puts us on exactly at 7:05, which is when the kids are driving to school. So they're listening, they're hearing that theme song, And I'm sure they're thinking, Mommy, I want to be like R.J. Bell, right? I think these 0-3s are helping us make sure that doesn't happen.
Oh, good.
When do you start speaking truth from the heart?
When it's 0-3.
I actually did. Look, I know how hard your job is, and I know that it's a matter of a half a point sometimes, like it was with the Colts-Tennessee game. You would have had that one right. But the Dolphins broke my heart because Dolphins plus 17, you were so convincing last week. You almost made me fly to Las Vegas and put money down on that game, and they lost by 18.
Yeah, so we lost by one there, half a point there. But listen, you win by a half. That's what gamblers do that you got to avoid, right? When they win a game by half a point, they say, oh, yeah, we had that baby. But yeah. When you lose a game by a half, it's like, oh, see, we should have won. So we're going to take the wins with the losses. But as you said, we've had a great run, and we're going to keep it going.
All right, let's see what this week's NFL picks look like from R.J. Bell. Big dog is the Texans at Tennessee. What's going on there?
Yeah, we're taking Texans plus 7. We play mostly underdogs, and you don't really have to worry about motivation too much in the NFL because there's only 16 games, and usually these teams are motivated all the games. But when you have teams that are losing, that aren't going to make the playoffs, when you hit the last quarter of the season, you do have to worry about motivation with some of these teams. Well, how do you decide if they're going to be motivated? The coach gives us somewhat of a history. How disciplined is he? And also, you watch the games. And what we've seen is Houston is still playing hard, even though they're out of the playoffs. And their quarterback, Tom Savage, is playing competent. We'll call it competent. Well, early in the year, he wasn't. Now, Tennessee, on the other hand, probably the most overrated team in the NFL. They're the 3 seed right now in the AFC. But if you look at the advanced metrics, this team is about the 22nd best team in the NFL. Marcus Mariota, there's a narrative, oh, this is his third year. He's trending upwards. If anything, he's regressing. There's real value on Houston plus 7. That's our pick.
All right. The best bet seems like kind of a similar matchup in that it's two teams who aren't playing for much at this point. If I know my football, Jets hosting Kansas City.
Well, KC's still leading the division.
Oh, are they? Yeah. All right.
So as bad as they
play. I just remember they had lost a bunch, and that was a surprise.
And that's exactly right, which is part of the handicap here. But let's start with the Jets. Entering the year, we expected here in Vegas the Jets to be the worst team of the decade. Literally no team in 10 years did we expect to be as bad as the Jets.
Did you not consider the Browns?
Well, listen, we thought the Jets were worse, right? Good point, right, in hindsight. But the Jets have overperformed. They're playing really hard. And last week, for example, they gave up 2 non-offensive touchdowns, and that made the score deceiving against Carolina. This Jets team is not bad. Now let's look at Kansas City. They were number 1 in all the power ratings after their 5-0 start. Well, in the last 6 games, they're 1-5 straight up. You mentioned it. And they've lost against the spread in those games by a combined 50-plus points. So the spread, by definition, is expectation. It's what's expected. And they've fallen short by over 50 points on this run. Now, listen, even good teams, maybe not this bad of a run, but good teams will have bad runs. The question is, what's causing it? Is it random, or is there a reason? Well, the people who watch the tape are telling me that the Steelers 6 weeks ago came up with a defensive approach against Kansas City that every other team has copied since, and KC just can't seem to overcome that. Because of that, I think Jets plus 3.5, best bet.
Interesting analysis. We're on with R.J. Bell from Las Vegas, pregame.com, talking the NFL this weekend. Here's the game I am least looking forward to. The best team in football, the Philadelphia Eagles, are visiting Seattle to play against my Seahawks, who, thanks to the Legion of Boom being decimated by injury, are not the team they once were. I'm worried this is going to be an Eagles blowout. What do you think, R.J.?
You know, Al Pacino in Carlito's Way said, you got to believe, baby. I think Seattle plus 6. I'm believing here.
Really?
Listen, Philadelphia is the hottest team in the NFL. They've won 9 straight games. They've won the last 4 by 20-plus points. In the last 30 years of the NFL, it's only the 9th team to have won 4 straight games by 20-plus. But historically, when teams are winning by that much, they get expensive. It's like a bubble in a real estate market. And if you even win 3 in a row by 20-plus, you only cover about 40% of the time. If you win 4 in a row, you're 2-6 against the spread. So history tells us they're expensive, the Eagles, right now. Well, what about Seattle? this is the biggest underdog of Russell Wilson's career at home. Biggest home underdog for Russell Wilson getting the six. And Seattle has the very best home field advantage in the NFL. It's a Sunday night football game. I think the pride's on the line for this team. The stadium is going to be rocking. We're going to take all those points. Seattle plus six.
All right. Recap. You saw what RJ did for you last week. Let's see what he can do for you this week. The big dog is Texas plus seven at Tennessee. Best bet, New York Jets plus 3.5 hosting Kansas City. And his big game, as you just heard, the Seattle Seahawks plus six hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Fingers crossed you're right. And the Seahawks win the game as well. But we'll find out next week. And RJ, when we talk to you next week, we'll also have a picture of what the college football playoff looks like. We can talk about that a little bit too, right?
We'll have the four set at that point for sure. And oh, by the way, I think it's so wonderful that you know I'm so confident that you can make fun of my failure and I'm going to be psychologically okay. So thank you.
Pregame.com is where you want to go for all the rest. RJ Bell's Dream Preview podcast is available on iTunes as well. And follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time.
Thank you.
Finally here, it's finally back, and on a new night tonight, the two-hour season five premiere of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, 8 o'clock. Listen up.
Agent Coulson of S.H.I.E.L.D. has come to save us.
Who are you?
I'm one of the true believers.
Believers in what?
In you.
What the hell's going on?
We're in space.
So one thing we haven't done yet.
Any idea what that is?
Have you ever seen an alien movie?
It's a lot of pressure to carry the fate of humanity on your shoulders.
Hang on.
This show.
Hang on. That's hang all
on.
I say.
Hang on is right.
Know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of Agent Melinda May herself from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's Ming-Na Wen back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yes, good morning. I love being here. How are you?
Well, we're always, always delighted to see you. So Friday nights, first of all, let's get that through everybody's head so they don't miss it. So they moved your night. How do you feel about that?
I don't think it really matters with our show because so many of our fans will just find it.
Yeah,
you know, they're smart.
Just DVR
they're smart,
anyway, right?
And then they DVR it, and, yeah. and those numbers count tremendously. So after you see it tonight, rewatch it like 100 times the first 3 days.
Okay,
yeah, and then it
I'm
just...
not sure that's physically possible. 2 hours, 300 times, 2 days.
Don't do the math.
Whatever, Kevin.
Okay, my bad.
Right?
My bad. Okay.
Don't go all math on me. Okay, it's too early
that's
for
what
that.
What I'm known for. So
yeah,
I don't
you
know.
I'm the Asian in the room. Let me do the math. Oh, is that
life.
Bad? Was that was wrong? Right?
Nope.
I can say that.
You can say it. Yes, exactly. It's all good.
Is it a be honest with me here, Ming-Na? Is it a surprise to you that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was an odd concept when they came up with the TV show, you know, a spinoff mm-hmm. but not a spinoff from the Marvel movies? Are you obviously you're delighted, but are you surprised to see here we are in season five of your show?
It's been, I mean, absolutely. But the great thing about our show is that I feel our writers somehow bring it up a notch every year and create something different and surprising and new for us and for the audience. Like this year, we're out in space, you know?
Literally,
and
yeah.
Literally, yeah, we're lost in space.
No, she was. They didn't shoot it in space.
We did. No, Kevin, we did.
Yeah, I read that.
We
got to come all the way back down to Earth for interviews?
Well, I'm a good pilot, so.
That's right. You are the pilot. That's true, yeah.
Now, were you in space the whole season, or you might have to come back down?
That I cannot tell you, because Marvel... You know, they're listening.
All right. Sure. If you had to recap just the major points so that we can catch people up to where we are right now.
Okay.
Try
as the show
that.
Opens tonight.
Yes.
Okay. As the show opens tonight, what happens is we as a team finally got to do something that is a normal thing, which is like eating.
Mm-hmm.
You never see us eat. You never see us pee. You never see us do any normal human things.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at a diner and we're having a meal together. And before you know it, mayhem ensues.
Mayhem ensues, like it
so
does.
So we end up somehow in space just because we just wanted to have a meal.
Just because you wanted one down moment.
Yeah, so I can't imagine what happens if we go to the bathroom. But anyway.
You'll have to learn that, though, I'm sure.
So, yeah. Is that enticing enough for our audience to want to see the show? But then what happens is we – at first I'm like, really? We're out in space? Uh-oh. Have we jumped the shark?
That's exactly what you – yeah, I can totally understand.
Isn't it right?
Where, like, they can't pull that off.
That you look at it the same way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because fans of the show, we watch it and we go, this is so great. But they're really, really reaching for the stars here. And if they fall short, it jumps the shark. And if they make it – and you've made it every time so far.
I mean, when we first saw the our first episode, we saw it together as a group, cast and crew. It felt like a film.
Every episode.
Oh, it looks like a movie. It always looks like a
movie. And we have to thank also Mark Kolpak and his VisFX team because they did create that environment. Because, you know, we sit in a green room and I'm pretending to be – I'm sorry, fans. I pretend to be in a spaceship flying it and we're looking at, you know, asteroids.
Wait a minute. You're not flying it?
Okay, you and my son.
Okay.
But, you know, we feel silly doing
it.
But then Mark Kolpak and his team comes in and they just create the most amazing visual effects. Mm-hmm. And the aliens that we have, and we have Kree, and it really ties in with the cinematic universe right now.
Yeah.
You know, because Thor has been, you know, out there and he's out in space and I'm so excited for the fans to see
it. And the quality of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the same as those movies. Which
Thank
is
you.
Especially
yes.
those visual effects guys and everything
and
else.
And on pennies.
And on pennies.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you're super smart, but...
Well, thank you. Who are you again? No.
Do you understand... Are there things that you do and say on the show that you have no idea what they mean, or are you really like up to speed? Like, could you understand the framework enough to know what's happening, right?
Oh yeah, but we all get a little confused. I'm not the only one that always go to the writers and go, wait, hold on. So,
wait, do I remember this or do I not remember this?
Do you shoot stuff in order?
Huh?
Do you shoot stuff in order? No. So that must
I mean,
be
each
really...
episode we do.
Okay.
But as far as the scenes, no. So we're always. Even though we've read the script, we know it forward. A lot of times when you're on set and things happen and you're I don't know what you're blocking, and it's just, wait a minute. So did I
what
shoot
I
that
doing?
Person? Or
wait, do I like this person or am I going to kill this person?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, and our fans are incredibly smart. You know, sometimes they'll ask us questions years later and we're like, oh, do you know the answer to that?
I'm not sure.
I have a romantic question for you.
Oh.
Are you now back at square one? Like, do you have to, like, start over? How does this, what?
With Phil Coulson?
Yes.
Are you team Felinda, Allie? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Bean?
Yeah, he knows.
I know. Yeah. No, you know a lot of our fans. It's so interesting how this relationship has created this romance around it because... Basically, they are partners in work, and there is this underlying attention for each other and love. And I think it's kind of cool that we did kiss, but I was the LMD.
Yeah.
Hey. So that's it. We just kissed.
So it wasn't.
Go on.
You,
but you know what? There are sex robots out there now.
A lot of them. Yeah.
I think we started a whole trend.
Yeah. That's the best part of space right there. So you've been hearing from your fans for a long time. There's some serious shipping going on between you and Phil, though, right?
There is.
Do people want it or are people afraid of it? What do you think?
I think people want it. But it's better to keep them wanting it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like
you could be right.
Remember, like Cheers. I don't know if for our fans who remember Cheers. You know,
Carla.
Carla.
Yeah, right? I'm just kidding.
No one cared.
No, but you're right. I mean, even with shows like Friends, you know, you want them to get together, but then when they do, they've kind of lost that sizzle.
A little bit because that tension.
Yeah, you know, whatever happens in space. You know,
all right.
Hey.
We have many more questions. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2-hour season 5 premiere is tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC. One of our favorites, Ming-Na Wen, in studio. We're going to talk Mulan when we come back, too, and a whole bunch more with Ming-Na right after this. She is one of the great stars of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actress, Ming-Na Wen, in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. The program returns tonight for season 5 premiere for 2 big hours, 8 p.m., ABC, Channel 7. You doing live tweeting or anything while you're watching it tonight, Ming-Na?
I'm working tonight, but I'm going to definitely try to do a little bit of live tweeting as well. You know, multitask.
Those are fun when people do that, when they tell you what was going on when that thing was being filmed and stuff like that. It's really neat. It's like a director commentary while you're watching live TV.
Yeah, and it's almost like theater because you get a chance to really hear and, you know, and experience what the audience are reacting to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in a weird way, that's one great thing about social media is that you get to not live in this little bubble.
Allie, you were talking last hour before Ming-Na showed up about the Mulan news.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Finally cast.
I know. She's super talented and it's a great, great casting. And I'm so glad. I mean, I could say something really controversial right now, but I won't.
You're so glad that they went with a Chinese woman. Go ahead and say it, because if they didn't, I'd be pissed. And
I don't think that's controversial.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to mention a couple of names that they always seem to. But I won't. I'm going to reframe. So this actress, you know, is from China, but she also speaks English, and she sings and she dances. Liu Yifei. Mm-hmm. And she's just beautiful. So I'm really, really excited.
So she's going to be play the live action version of the animated character that you voice.
Yes, yes.
What did Mulan mean to you?
It over the years, it's meant so much more than I could have ever anticipated. When I first did it, I was just thrilled because I grew up with Fa Mulan's story as a child, you know, about this woman warrior. And then to be part of Disney's legacy was stupendous because I'm a huge Disney geek. And then over the years, now that I've met fans and I've gone to these cons, like I'm going to one tomorrow in San Jose, I'm so astounded by the women and the young women and the moms and all these people that come up and tell me how much Mulan has influenced them and inspired them and helped them through a dark time. And you just never would imagine that an animated character can offer that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, some of them cry because it's so affecting for them. And then I hit them and smack them.
It's
just
together.
A cartoon.
What's wrong with you?
No, I'm kidding. I always have to, like, I don't know why I do that. I always have to make a joke when I'm trying to be sincere.
No, but that's what I love about you, especially because on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're a badass. And you almost never smile.
No.
Almost never. And it's so opposite of who you actually are.
Thank you. But, oh, you know what? And I'm also extremely grateful. Thank you so much for, like, giving me a shout out on my birthday.
Oh, we love you.
You guys. I mean, I didn't get a chance to tweet because I don't know what the hell I was doing. I'm just doing a million things right now. But thank you. Thank you so much. Every time, you know, all my friends always call. They all listen to you guys and they're like, they gave you a shout out. So thank you for that.
You were 25 this year. It was really
great.
Yes, again.
You know, and also while we're in this sincere mood, yes. You know, I just want to give a shout out to Ralph.
Excellent.
You know, I know you got it, and I'm not going to add any salt to the wound or anything, but thank goodness. No, I'm just kidding. See,
she
I have
it
to go there again.
There's not a sincere bone in her body,
because, you know, just the smell in this room now is so much fresher, Ralph. I mean,
what are you doing to us?
No, I love you, Ralph, and you know, and I'm sure along with your colleagues, we will miss you dearly.
Absolutely. And, no, and, this has been a terrible week, and we were talking to you about this off air, Ming-Na, because you've been in show business for a long time, and you've been on movies and TV shows where people come and people go, and it's really sad. It's really hard, and you have to just pick yourself up and continue to do.
Yeah,
do
because
the work,
you know,
you're
family.
You know,
family, and you work long hours together, and you laugh, and you share your, you know, personal lives as well, and people don't realize how a unique situation for all of us in this art form. And, you know, we give out these like social or characters, but in reality, it's all like all of us are real people behind you know, the art form. And and yes, it is.
And Ralph, one of the best.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So we love you, Ralph. Okay.
We do. We love you very much. We're almost out of time. So one more plug for tonight. 2 hours, season 5 premiere, 8 o'clock, ABC. Anything else you want to warn people about or tell people to look forward to or expect or what?
Oh, just hang on because Agent May especially will give you the ride of your life.
Wow. That's going to be my new ringtone. I'm saving that piece of tape.
What happens in space stays in space.
You're a weirdo, and I love you.
Ming Na, we love you. Thank you so much for coming in. Do it again soon.
Yes, love you guys too.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
A week from tomorrow night is the night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, Saturday, December 9th at the Forum. We've got tickets you can win in about 15 minutes or so for Muse and 30 Seconds to Mars, Queens of the Stone Age, Rise Against, Prophets Rage, and all the rest, plus the JBL Boombox. And we're going to give you a heads up right now that we're going to be looking for your haiku about Acoustic Christmas, about you wanting to go to Acoustic Christmas, about the show itself, however you want to phrase it, a haiku is what we're looking for.
It's Haikustic Christmas.
Oh, no.
Is what it is.
Oh, Kevin.
That's what it is, people. Oh. That was Chip.
Wow.
And that's the official name.
Okay.
Say it again, Kevin.
Haikustic Christmas.
I will allow it.
Right?
I like it. Thank you.
Should I be scared so, if he'd like that?
Yeah, so don't call now. We'll open up the phones in about 50 minutes, but we did want to give you a heads up. We're going to be looking for you to write your haiku about night one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and the best one wins tickets plus the JBL Boombox. That is coming up on K-Rock. We'll also talk new movies after the top of the hour. First, we're taking turns doing showbiz news for you today, and I believe it is Kevin's turn. So let's roll tape on this.
Is this the sound effect that I have to use?
What did you do?
Yep.
That's it. Yes, in between stories? Absolutely.
How would you like to date Chris Pratt?
He is a single now, right?
He is.
The problem is somebody on Facebook is acting like they're Chris Pratt and hitting on women.
Mm. Oh, no.
And asking for phone numbers.
Nope.
And apparently has been doing it for a while.
Well, now that seems like fraud. Like that would be against the law.
Chris has gone ballistic. He says, if I find out who it is, I'll have their account shut down and seriously would like to punch them right in the goddamn mouth.
Yeah.
So he's pleased with
really
his doppelganger?
Upset by this. Apparently he's been impersonating Chris a lot and has hit up a number of women, and he will not have it anymore. And he's putting out the word, do not fall for that. If it's on Facebook and it's Chris Pratt hitting on you, it's not Chris Pratt.
Well, my Saturday opened up.
What did you do?
Kelly Cuoco.
Yeah.
Got engaged last night.
Oh, did she?
She got engaged.
Okay.
Why?
Good. That's great.
Allie likes it when other girls get asked to be married.
No, I feel like there's something wrong with my story. No. Okay. She had that divorce with the guy.
Ryan, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to maybe take some time.
I see. Don't rush into something.
Well, okay, go on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of thoughts about Kelly Cuoco.
I just love her so much, and I am happy for her. I just want her to protect everything that she has built.
Apparently he popped the question, and they, of course, were putting it on video, and she started crying, and she was so happy, and about, you know, a minute and a half in, the guy was like, hey, say yes out loud.
Oh, she never said anything.
Maybe perhaps accept my proposal. And so if you go on TMZ right now, you can see that video and you can see a picture of her. And she seems like she's supremely happy.
Good. I don't know anything about her fiancé, but I will tell you that in my next life, my goal is going to be to do what he did. And that is to marry a woman who makes $1 million a week.
I'm not positive you've got those skills.
Well, you're probably right.
Daisy Ridley.
What did you do?
Sorry, thank you, Chip. Has done an interview where she's making she's building a Millennium Falcon out of Legos while she's asked questions. Yeah, it's about 5 minutes long, and there's a whole bunch of different questions about a whole bunch of different things. Most of the stuff is personal stuff, but I found this following question very funny. They asked her if her dad is still a hardcore Star Trek fan. Or has she been able to swing him to the Star Wars side?
Okay.
This is her answer.
I have not managed to change my dad's mind.
He is still very much a Star Trek fan.
Still a Star Trek fan.
His daughter might be the last Jedi.
Right?
That's amazing.
How crazy is that that her dad's like, you know what? Sorry.
What
I'm a Trek guy. Nothing I can do.
That's amazing.
That's insane, right? Celebrity birthdays.
What did you do?
We have Woody Allen is 82 years old. Bette Midler is having a birthday today. Sarah Silverman, Emily Mortimer, Diane Ward. Is that how you say it?
What did you say first?
I'm not positive.
It sounded like, what did you do?
Yolandi Visser is 33. Janelle Monáe is 32. And Zoe Kravitz is 29 years old. And that is the showbiz.
We're going to ask for your haikus in about 5 minutes. You're going to haiku your way into night number one of the sold out K-Rock Almost Christmas 2017. If you've got one, you want to make it up. What's the syllable formula again, Kevin? You want to remind people as an English major how to create a haiku?
Yeah, it's 5-7-5.
Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. That's what we're looking for. We'll open up the phones in 5 minutes. First, though, it is Friday. That means a lot of us look at what's in theaters. Let's go to the movies. Our friend Russ Leatherman is on the phone. He is the movie man at 6secondreviews.com. Hey, Russ, what's going on, man?
Happy weekend, you guys.
You as well.
Happy weekend to you. This is an odd weekend for movie choices, isn't it? There's not one consensus, like, big Avengers-type blockbuster out, but there's some interesting things with maybe a little something for everybody, right?
I think that's true. This is one of the best times of year to go to the movies, period. Like you said, you've got movies like Coco and Justice League, the big blockbusters, but there are so many great limited releases in theaters this week. Let's start. Well, first up, we've got another nutty film from director Guillermo del Toro. It's a girl meets amphibian sort of love story.
Right?
That old trope.
That old story. Guillermo del Toro, by the way, one of the best directors in the world today. This film that Russ is mentioning is called The Shape of Water. Here's what it sounds like.
You clean that lab, you get out. The thing we keep in there is an affront. And I should know, I dragged it all the way here.
It's a lot of blood. What went on in here?
It was you that found my fingers.
We need to take it apart, learn how it works.
I can either save him or let him die.
The asset, do you have it?
No! Where is it?
Sit down!
So a lady falls in love with a fish? What's happening here, Russ?
What the hell?
What is happening right now? Here you've got this woman working in this high-security government laboratory. Mm-hmm. She's a janitor, kind of. She's downstairs, and she discovers this mysterious scaled creature living in a water tank, and they fall in love.
Mm. That's what?
You know what? I'm telling you, Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon's in the movie. Love Michael Shannon. This is another trippy, oddly engaging, very romantic movie from Guillermo del Toro, and there ain't no love like amphibian love. Am I right, Allie?
You don't have to tell me.
Allie would know.
Russ, I know.
You know, these movies are weird and they're trippy, but I will tell you that the romance is real. It's very well done. I like a lot of his movies, some not so much, but the creature effects are always fantastic, and this is a real love story. And it's well worth checking out. So I'm in. I like The Shape of Water a lot.
All right.
And it's Octavia Spencer, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody associated with this movie is Oscar nominated. Exactly. Or a winner. Right. All right. Moving on to The Disaster Artist. This is a movie a lot of people have been waiting for a long time. James Franco is the director and the star. I think by now a lot of people may know what it's about, but here's a clip.
So there's this guy, Johnny. He has it all. Good luck. Many friends. And also, maybe Johnny is a vampire. We'll see.
This set of the alleyway looks exactly like the real alleyway.
That's right.
Well, why don't we just shoot in the real alleyway?
Because it's a real Hollywood movie.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Action!
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
But it doesn't work if you're looking at the camera. Cut.
Why you cut, Sandy? This is great. This is real acting.
If you're going to writhe around with the dress, maybe do it before you shoot yourself in the head and blow your brains out.
I disagree.
So James Franco is intentionally acting terribly there, right, Russ?
He is. This is a movie about what some people say is the worst movie ever, called The Room, right? So James Franco is, this is the real-life story of this writer-director, Tommy Wiseau, who created this movie, The Room, in 2003. Again, said to be one of the worst, maybe the Citizen Kane of bad movies.
All right.
So he's playing that character, and this is the movie about the making of the movie. here's the thing. He's fantastic in it. I don't know if you saw him on Kimmel with this Johnny Wiseau character. But he does a fantastic job. And if anything, this movie tells me, it's sometimes lightning strikes. Like, this guy's serious about making this movie. Again, a horrible movie, but he was serious about it. He got the money for it somehow, and he was passionate. And lightning struck. He's on his 15th year of fame for this thing. It's actually quite an incredible story. And Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, Dave Franco, Josh Hutcherson, they have a fantastic cast. So it's a weird movie about a weird dude who is so oddly successful that it's fascinating.
Two for two.
And
what's
this
happening?
This The Room, I mean, it became a cult favorite that was passed around from Hollywood star to Hollywood star. They would have viewing parties, and everybody couldn't believe the incompetence that this director showed in starring and directing this movie. And it's such an oddball thing that somebody would make a movie about that, but it sounds like James Franco was the right guy to do it, huh?
Yeah, just the right guy. And a lot of people have asked me, how can I see The Room? And it's actually very hard to see. It's not streaming anywhere, this original movie. There's a theater in Westwood, a Regal Theater, I think, okay, it's playing it. But you can't stream it. You probably won't see it. But you don't need to see The Room to enjoy The Disaster Artist. It,
okay,
it stands on its own. It's fine. It's weird. It's wacky. And it's good. So I like it.
That's a great
tip.
Love it. All right. And finally, Woody Allen is back with about his 60th movie. Let's find out if this one holds up. The latest is called Wonder Wheel.
You know, she's a marked woman.
Can she move on?
I know where all the bodies are buried.
Did he kiss you?
Why are you getting so heated?
I'm going to find
him. My head is pounding. Everything's coming apart.
You look a little crazy to me.
When it comes to love, we often turn out to be our own worst enemy.
I know what it is you did.
Well, don't you think you're being a little melodramatic?
Another very interesting cast. What do you think, Russ?
Kate Winslet, Justin Timberlake. Well, here's what I think. Here's your 6-second review.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
Wonder Wheel might be a wonderful movie, but director Woody Allen is a creepy weirdo, so I'm not going to watch it. I'm out.
Respect. Amen. Hard pass, Woody Allen. F you.
You're not going to do it, right? Life's too short.
Amen. I support you in that.
All right.
And there's so much great stuff in theaters. I also want to mention on television. I don't know if you guys are watching Godless with Jeff Daniels.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yes, that's supposed to be very, very good.
It's a Western. If you like Deadwood, this is a Western that's much more hardcore. Jeff Daniels is playing against type. Again, it's on Netflix. I'm loving it. There's a lot of great stuff on television, a lot of great movies in theaters. It's, like I said, it's one of the best times of year for us.
Russ, right. I don't know if I want your answer, but I saw this movie and I was so in love with it and it was so delightful. Your thoughts on Wonder?
I thought Wonder was.
All right, we're losing you.
No. I thought it was a nice movie. But I tell you this: have you seen Lady Bird?
Yes.
Directed by Greta Gerwig, Saoirse Ronan. Just how fantastic
is that movie? And I wish more people would see it.
All right, yeah. Sounds like there's too much good stuff
Coco,
to go to the Woody Allen
Coco?
Movie. Coco, he's yelling Coco. And Coco, of course. All right. You can see all the 6-second reviews at 6secondreviews.com and at 6-second reviews on Twitter as well. He is Russ Leatherman. He is the Movie Man. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, sir.
Have a good one, you guys. Thanks.
We appreciate it.
All right, next, we're giving away some tickets.
And Kip, what's this game called again?
Haikustic Christmas.
Yeah! Haikustic Christmas. So you come up with a haiku and you tell us about it. You can make it either night. We're doing, which night are we doing?
Night one.
Night one. So you got to make it about night one, and we'll take your haikus next, and the best one will win tickets, and it's getting late, so good luck.
Going to give away another pair of tickets right now to night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. It's a week from tomorrow night at the Forum, December 9th. By the way, it's getting late, so good luck, as a wise man once said.
I didn't hear that on the radio.
And we're also going to throw in a JBL boombox, which I didn't know. We've been giving these away all week. I had no idea that it was waterproof, by the way, so you can take it to the beach or the pool without worrying about rain or spills or submersion in water. The brand new JBL boombox, in addition to the tickets. Kevin, explain to the listeners on hold what it is we're doing this time around.
We are doing Haikustic Christmas.
Haikustic Christmas! Hi!
And that, a haiku is 3 lines, 5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5 syllables.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I made an example show everybody.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you.
I am excited.
This is too many syllables.
No, that's five.
It's four.
That's
five.
Four.
I am excited. Five.
Oh,
five.
You're getting, oh, you're putting the. You're making. Okay, I see what you're doing there. You're making. Okay, go ahead.
What are you?
What's wrong with you?
Go ahead. I'm excited.
I need
go
more
ahead.
Drums now.
All right.
Acoustic Christmas is good.
Mm-hmm.
I should be there immediately.
No,
that's way too many. So I know that was way too many.
Immediately was one.
Didn't
the way
there.
I said it.
Okay, I don't think you're going to win, okay. Kevin. But let's find out who is. Let's meet our first contestant with this haiku for Haiku Christmas.
Come on, man, try. Matt in Pasadena. Hi.
Good. Hi. How's it going?
Good. Well, thank you. All right, you ready, Matt?
Yes, I am.
All right. Good luck.
A night of greatness. Rise Against is my favorite. Santa, ho, ho, ho.
I mean.
Right?
Yeah.
I like it.
Acoustic Christmas.
Very good. Very good, Matt. Thank you. Please hold on. By the way, the lineup, if it helps you, is Muse, 30 Seconds to Mars, Queens at the Stone Age, Rise Against, Matt Mansion, Prophets of Rage, Run, The Jewels, Cold War Kids, Judy, and The Lion, Royal Blood. Who's up next?
Eric in Torrance. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Nick Carrick crew.
How are you?
Good luck.
Good. How are you guys?
Here you go.
Kevin and Bean, please. For night one, I'm on my knees. So, give me tickets.
Very direct.
I wish you could, wish you could see Allie using your fingers to count. That's yeah. good. Thank you. Hold on. Yeah.
I am terrible at tracking the syllables,
really?
As they say.
I really am. Erica in Simi Valley, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Are you ready for Haikustic Christmas?
Yes, I am.
Good luck.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. K-Rock Almost Acoustic needs me to see Muse.
Okay, it was a curious
yes.
delivery, but I think
yes,
you got it. Okay.
That is correct.
I feel like we're all confused, so we're going to accept it.
Yes, right. All right, so that's three. We got time for a couple more. Who's next?
Next is Lisa in Northridge. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to Haikustic Christmas. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Here we go. My daughter's birthday falls on Acoustic Christmas, night number one. Please.
That works.
That works. Okay.
That would work. Yeah.
We got the okay from Allie.
Okay, so not that it matters, these tickets are for you or for your daughter. Are you guys going to go together and make it a birthday night? What are you doing?
I will let her choose if she wants to bring a friend or bring her very cool mom who's been calling all the time to try to get tickets for her birthday.
Oh, you're a very cool mom.
That's okay. So
but
sweet.
I would definitely drop her off. She's turning 17. She gets to go by herself if she wants to.
Wow.
Oh, good for you.
That
you are a cool mom. There's no way my mom lets me go to this show if I'm 17.
Right, agreed.
All right, please hang on, Lisa. Let's do one more. Let's make it our friend Manny in Montebello up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Manny.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Welcome to
Haikustic Christmas. Hey!
Go ahead.
I'm excited. Second time trying. Here we go.
Wait, have you started yet? Because we're counting syllables already, and I think maybe
second
we shouldn't be.
Second time trying.
Nope. I don't think you started yet.
Music floods my brain, pouring into both my ears. Floating through my skull.
Boy, that one was...
I love that one.
That took me on a journey, man.
That was pretty sweet.
That was kind of intense. All right. You hold on, Manny. We have to discuss amongst ourselves. I don't remember what we decided. Are we picking one or are we doing a drawing?
I think unless it's a clear winner we pick, we just give everybody an equal chance.
Allie, you got thoughts on this? I think I'm fine to make it a drawing. How about you? Well, no. If you speak up, if you
no,
disagree.
I mean, Manny's was beautiful, but Lisa is might let her daughter go to her first show, and that's lovely,
right? But we didn't give the first three contestants the opportunity to give us their deep backstory as to who the tickets are going for and why. You know,
you're
what I mean?
Right.
So it's not
you're
really
right.
fair to consider.
We have to make it fair.
Let's make it fair to everybody. Let's just make it a drawing for all of our wonderful haiku players here. Who's our winner going to be for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and the wonderful JBL Jude Boombox?
The winner is Erica.
Erica! Yay! Ouch. Congratulations, Erica.
Yay!
You get to go to the show.
I'm so happy.
We're happy. Yes. We're happy for you as well, and thanks for playing.
Haikustic Christmas!
Allie, you going to be okay?
I'm so excited.
You're so excited. Allie's been talking about... Been talking about Monday at 10 p.m. on the Discovery Channel for weeks now. It's the return of Cash Cab, you guys. There are 13,000 cabs in New York City, but there's only one that pays you. And the man behind the wheel once again is Ben Bailey, who returns to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock again. Ben, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going, guys?
Very well, thank you.
We're doing fantastic. We're happy to have you on. We're excited about the return of Cash Cab. It's an interesting strategy that the network has, putting 5 years between seasons, though, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
It doesn't build momentum for a show.
Yeah, we're hoping Absence has made the heart grow fonder, and everyone will be happy to have us back. It sounds like you guys are pretty pumped.
It has for Allie. Yeah.
I was doing a segment we call Showbiz here, and it was the day that it was released that you were coming back, and lost my S.
I was
so excited.
Will you explain to him how you used to pick cabs in New York, please?
Well, it could have been the dead of winter. I didn't care. A cab would come by and I'd be like, keep going. You're not a minivan. It was insanity. And my friends would literally say, I'll meet you there, because they did not want to be in cabs with me, because I would get in a cab and get in the minivan and be like, come on. And I'd be legit upset.
Explain to people that haven't watched it yet what it is and why you wanted to be a part of it.
Well, basically, you hail a cab and this guy picks you up and he says, where to? And you're like, 144th and Lenox. And all of a sudden he goes, you're in Cash Cab. It's a game show that takes place right here in the taxi. Lights come on. Everybody flips out. The person usually goes from really bummed, they have to get somewhere, to, holy crap, I'm going to win some money.
Now, Ben, let me stop Allie right there and ask this question. How often does it happen that the person is a huge Cash Cab fan and they really can't believe what's going on?
It actually happens pretty often at this point.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. But the problem with that is that they know the show before they get in, and we want them to be surprised.
Right,
but
right.
They open the door, and they're like, oh, hey, Ben.
So you would drive past Allie. You would just see that there's too much excitement there and just drive right past her.
It's true.
I don't know. Don't think that, Allie. I would pick you up if I see you.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
So, Ben, I know you've been waiting all these years.
Right.
You're behind the wheel. You're actually doing the driving for reals, right?
Yes, absolutely driving for reals.
Okay, so you can't
have to do that part anymore.
It would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
It would be a lot easier, yeah. Because the reason I bring it up is because, like the carpool karaoke, you know, James Corden isn't really driving, right? They film it to look like he is, right? Isn't that what we determined on that show?
I don't think
we determined that.
All right, so my question is,
if he ends up in the Cash Cab, I'm going to make him drive.
Right? Sure.
Yeah.
So you can't read the questions then. You can't be reading while you're driving. How do you get them and how do you memorize the questions?
He's got the earpiece.
I actually hear them first. I have somebody quiz me on them to see how I do. Mm-hmm. And then I memorize them. I take like 5-10 minutes and I read over them until I know them pretty well. And then they read them back to me in an earpiece, so it's easier to repeat, you know.
How do you do on the quiz when they give it to you the first time?
It depends on the questions. I think that's true for anybody. Sometimes I would make it through and win. Other times I would strike out pretty quick.
Gotcha. All right,
if
so we're talking
stuff,
to Ben Bailey.
Know, it's like a Slumdog Millionaire thing, you know.
Right, exactly. It's just whether it's in your wheelhouse or not.
Yep.
We're talking to Ben Bailey, the executive producer and host of Cash Cab, which again returns this Monday night on the Discovery Channel. And you have made some changes since you were last on the air. Tell us about the new celebrity angle.
Oh, yeah. The celebs are a really fun new element. But I'm not sure that we can have a celebrity guest on every episode from now on. But the first handful of episodes have celebrity guests, and maybe as good as watching people's reaction to finding out they're in the Cash Cab is their reaction to a celebrity like Matthew Perry or Brooke Shields or Scott Bakula just coming up and opening the door and forcing their way into the cab.
If I open a cab door and I see Jeff Garlin, I am very, very happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They went nuts for Garlin. It was great.
But for Gilbert Gottfried, though, they get right out of the cab.
Oh,
Gilbert,
no.
They're like, could we get someone else?
Oh.
What's the most amount of money that you can win playing the Cash Cab?
You know, I don't know what the limit is. I think maybe it's 10 grand.
Oh, wow. That's right. And people always find this funny that don't watch the show, Ben, but it's true, right? If they get it wrong, you stop the cab and make them get out, even if they're not at their destination.
Yeah, it's true. If they get three answers wrong, people always say if they get three questions wrong.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It's the answers. Those are the
have you
I
ever,
have to get the questions right.
Have you ever had anyone hold on and not get out because they're not at their destination yet?
Yeah, one guy was pretty drunk, and he struck out, and he wouldn't get out, and he moved into the back seat.
and put on all the seatbelts.
That's awesome. Did you fight him or just drive him where he wanted to go?
I was like freaked out at first, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I can just get out.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And got out.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course.
Never right. thought about that.
Well, you do
we had footage of that.
You really make that show fun. I mean, you are the perfect host for that because it's obvious that you're really enjoying it and you manage to kind of contain all the nonsense that's going on around you at the time. So we're very excited. I don't know how or why it came back, Ben, but we're very happy to have you back on our Discovery Channel this Monday night for Cash Cab. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thank you. Thanks so much, you guys. I'll be looking for you, Allie.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Hey, it's Friday, right?
Right.
Let's do Keep It 100 today.
Right.
Like we do on Fridays about this time. Mm-hmm. We give you the opportunity to pick any song that you've ever heard on K-Rock that you like. If we still have it, we will play it for you. All you have to do is text us right now at 1-800-520-1067. You have excellent taste, by the way. Here's a small selection of some of the songs you've already picked in past Keep It 100s. I smoked two joints before I smoked two joints. Had a little horsey named Paul Revere. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
My last one went well.
It sure did. So you can choose any song you want right now. Be texture 100 at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll play it for you coming up after the top of the hour. We have been taking turns today doing the showbiz for you, and it is my turn right now. And I want to start with our man Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy has been on fire. He has far and away, and I don't just say this because we're friends. I honestly believe he's got the best show in late night television on ABC. And he has a guy on his show, Jake Bird, who goes out to wherever news is being made and injects himself. And he, have you seen this yet, Kevin?
I've not seen this particular one, but Jake Bird is my favorite.
He's the best.
Love
it. He's fearless. So he goes down to Alabama, where by now you know Roy Moore is a man who is running for office. And there are multiple accusations of sexual harassment and him being in his 30s and dating girls that are teenagers and being blacklisted from going to a mall because of how many teenage girls he was hitting. I mean, just awful things that went on. But for some reason, he's leading in the polls and it looks like he's going to win his race down there in Alabama. So he's having a rally. And Jake Bird goes down there from the Jimmy Kimmel Show and does what he does, and in this case, pretend to be all in on Judge Moore. And here's a little bit of how that went.
I would repeal Obamacare. Rule one medicine. Transgender troops, he favors, and he opposes Trump's ban on transgender troops.
I'm his support. I'm his number one fan. He's the kick it out of your number one fan, Judge. Your number one fan. You know what? Because I believe in the judge. And I don't believe in the ladies who are lying. Does that look like the face of someone who hits on teenage girls? No. That's a man's man. That's an American right there. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
And he gets escorted out, by the way. Okay, so it doesn't end there. So Roy Moore goes on Twitter and says, hey, Jimmy Kimmel, if you want to mock our Christian values, come down here to Alabama and do it man to man. Jimmy Kimmel has accepted his invitation.
Awesome.
And plans to go down to Gadsden, Alabama. He says with a team of high school cheerleaders, and he'll meet the judge at a mall. Don't worry, no. I can get you in. You got to watch Jimmy's monologue from last night. He goes into great detail about all the things that are wrong with Judge Moore and talks about how offended he is by Judge Moore, especially since Jimmy is not only himself a Christian, but that his middle name is Christian. Did you guys know that?
Did not.
Jimmy's middle name is Christian. So anyway, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see Jimmy Kimmel going one-on-one if Roy Moore will actually meet with him. But I just think that's hilarious. And that the rest of that Jake Bird tape is well worth checking out as well.
Girl, holla!
DMX is in the news. He's a rapper who was popular, I don't know, what, Allie? About 15 years ago he had his moment, would you say?
Maybe less, yeah, sure.
He is back in the news. He is back in the news for two reasons right now. One is he has recorded a studio version of a viral video that he did a couple of years ago of him rapping Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now it's out there. It's on Spotify if you want to hear the whole thing. But here's a little bit of DMX. You tell me if this is an improvement on this all-time holiday classic.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, and Donner and Blitzen.
But do you recall, was that the most famous reindeer of all? Come on!
By the way, I love that he has a posse behind him. Do you recall? What's that?
I love it. It's an improvement.
Didn't know we needed it? I think we do.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a baby shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it goes. Come on, come on. All of the other reindeer used to have to call him names. Benevolent poor Rudolph joining any reindeer game.
So that exists, if you want some of that from DMX. He also is in the news for this other reason, which is not such good news for him, and that is that he has pled guilty to tax fraud. Oh. He admitted to not reporting money that he has earned to try to avoid paying the government $1.7 million. I don't know how a guy like DMX makes $1.5 million at this point, so he may end up going to prison, and he is going to be sentenced on March 29th, so we're going to find out what happens.
Well, where can I buy the song?
You don't even have to buy it. It's
available on all
the streaming services.
So he doesn't have the money.
Right. I know. Well, that's why a lot of musicians don't have money. You just don't make any money off of streaming. You have to. I read this the other day. I think you have to stream a song 1,500 times to get the equivalent of what a sale would be. If I remember correctly, the math is something crazy like that. I mean, that's why a lot of artists are complaining about the streaming. A lot of artists don't want to be on streaming is for that same reason. So anyway, so good luck, I guess, to DMX. Girl, holla! And finally in this report, I know every day you wake up to another sexual harassment claim against the powerful man who did bad things with ladies. I say keep them coming. I say continue to shine the spotlight. Let's get them all out there. And that's what Bette Midler is trying to do. She said, and she actually has tape to back it up, that she has been talking about this for years, that Geraldo Rivera has never apologized for, well, you're going to be horrified when you hear the description that she gave of what happened. But here she is in a tape from the Barbara Walters interview show a few years ago, talking about what went down with Geraldo, who I think now is a correspondent on Fox News, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't that where Geraldo is?
Yeah.
No comment from Geraldo yet, but here's what Bette Midler said happened.
Geraldo and his producer came to do an interview with me in the 70s, the early 70s. And this was when he was very sort of hot. And he and his producer left the crew in the other room. They pushed me into my bathroom. They broke two poppers and pushed them under my nose and proceeded to grope me. And I didn't have any idea. Grope me. I did not offer myself up on the altar of Geraldo Rivera.
That is a horrific story to live through, by the way. And I don't know what Geraldo's response is going to be, if there is one, but I'm not optimistic that he is going to come clean and apologize for this based on the comments he's been making about other men in the news, like Matt Lauer, saying, well, it's just the news business is kind of flirty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe one of those guys who thought that what he did, forcing a woman into a bathroom and trying to drug her and have sex with her against her will, is okay.
Well, it is very flirty. I'll give him that.
It certainly is flirty.
Misuse of that word.
So, Kevin, I know you've never been a big Bette Midler fan, but I think you've got to be Team Bette Midler this time, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Director Woody Allen, speaking of, is 82 years old today. Actress Emily Mortimer from The Newsroom and other shows is 46 years old. Zoe Kravitz turns 29 today. Our friend Sarah Silverman is 47. Bette Midler, who we were just talking about, 72 years old today. Our friend Brad Delson from Linkin Park turns 40 today as well. And that has been the Showbiz News. I look forward to this every single week. It's time to keep it 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
All right, text number 99, you guys. Actually, would have been pretty cool this week with Acoustic Christmas coming up next weekend. Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths.
All right.
So sorry, Jacob, didn't get to you. And number 101 was Stutter by Elastica, another great song, Jason in Anaheim. So you just missed the cut. However, Texter 100 is on the phone. I think we're welcoming, is it Sherry from Rosemead?
Yes, it is.
How are you, Sherry?
Sherry,
what's up?
I'm awesome. It's Friday.
It's Fry-yay, first of all.
Don't do this to Sherry.
It's not Fry-yay.
Let Sherry decide. Is it Fry-yay or is it Friday?
Fry-yay all the way.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. There's my girl.
I'll accept it from Sherry, but not Bean.
All right, Sherry, when you start thinking about the history of K-Rock music, there are thousands upon thousands of songs, but you came up with one right away. You must have texted it in pretty fast. You had a song in mind. Tell us how you selected yours.
I did. It's just one of my all-time favorites. It reminds me of
the 90s and skating down in Venice Beach. It's still good. It holds up over the years.
All right. You want to introduce it for us on Keep It 100?
Yes. Let's play Epic by Faith No More.
You got it. Thank you.
Keep It 100. If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it, cause it happens too fast. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. It's so cool, so hip, it's alright. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it, taste it so sweet. But it makes no difference, cause it knocks you off your feet.
good was that?
Hey, refresh my memory. The fish was okay. The goldfish was okay, right? They put them right back in the water as soon as they finished filming the video, right?
Yeah.
Does anyone remember?
Yeah, the fish is fine.
Fish is all good, B.
Allie, why
alive.
Do I feel
still alive?
Still alive.
Why do I feel like you're just saying that?
Very,
come on.
Very healthy.
Yeah. Oh.
Sherry from beautiful
a late into its 80s.
Yes.
Sherry from beautiful Rosemead, as she put it, texted us in and requested that song, Faith No More is Epic, which, by the way, on VH1's Greatest One-Hit Wonders list of all time, came in at number 67. Great choice, Sherry. Thank you so much for listening. We'll do it again next week. This has been Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
All morning long, we have been taking turns every hour, taking a look at what's going on in the world of showbiz. Allie, you are up. What's new?
Hey, let's give something away, shall we?
Sure.
It's been a long, long week. How about a pair of passes to the premiere of Father Figures?
Yay!
At TCL Chinese Theater, December 13th. You get to see that long before it hits theaters on December 22nd. If you don't know about this movie, it's a pair of twins, hence twins being a pair. Owen Wilson and Ed Helms, they find out that their dad, who they long thought was dead, is very much alive. Yet they don't really know who he is because their mom, Glenn Close, was, let's just say she was pretty free with her lovin'. So they set out on this journey to basically figure out who he is and then discover things along the way. A beautiful, beautiful story. So if you want to win a pair of passes right now to the premiere of Father Figures at TCL Chinese Theater on December 13th, be the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067 and enjoy the movie. You guys, that pharma bro, remember him? Martin Shkreli?
Yeah, he was the one who bought the Wu-Tang album.
Yes. Convicted of securities fraud. Well, now the feds are after him for some money.
Okay.
They're going after his assets, which include the Wu-Tang album.
Oh, really? The feds are going to take it.
Yes. Also, an album by Lil Wayne that is apparently legendary. And it's always been unreleased, but Martin Shkreli owns that one, too. So they're going after that. They want assets that are totaling in $7.4 million to pay some of what he owes in restitution. So those albums, $5 million in cash, some shares in a pharmaceutical company, and a Picasso painting.
Wow.
I would think the Picasso painting would be
right.
Well worth
the
total that they're looking for.
Total. How much are they after?
$7.4 million.
Yeah, I would think any Picasso would be worth that much.
Wouldn't you?
By the way, this guy, and I know we all hate him because he's the farmer bro. He's the guy who bought a company and then raised the price on this medicine that people needed. It was just despicable. But no one has ever had a more punchable face than that guy.
It's punchable.
When you see
not a category, is
it?
It
is, though. When you see him on the news, you don't have to know anything about him. You know that dude deserves to be hit right upside the head.
Yeah, and he was just such a punk about everything, too.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Yeah, yes, see? You're right, sir.
There you have it. There you have it. And this seems so long ago, just with everything that has come out since then. But right when the Harvey Weinstein accusations were coming out in October, do you guys remember when Terry Crews came out and he shared basically his sexual assault story on Twitter? And it was a big Hollywood exec, turned out to be an agent at WME named Adam Bennett, who had essentially grabbed his junk at a party in front of people. His wife saw it. It was just a bad, bad situation. And he had gone to the police and filed a report, and WME had said, okay, he's going to take a little break. We're going to figure this out. Well, the guy's back doing his job, of course. Terry Crews, understandably not happy about it, because according to him, nobody gets a pass. But he had shared something online that is quite fitting, Terry Crews. He shared an email that Russell Simmons sent him that said, did he ever apologize? Give the agent a pass. Ask that he be reinstated. With great love, all things are possible.
That's an odd.
Which brings us to Mr. Russell Simmons' most recent allegations of sexual assault against him. The LA Times did an article. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was when I was on vacation. But a model that said that him and Brett Ratner were in on this situation that got very ugly. And then yesterday, The Hollywood Reporter published a letter from writer Jenny Lumet, who accused him and a driver of not taking her home and assaulting her as well. So strange timing for all of this to be coming out, Mr. Simmons. He announced yesterday that he's going to give up his leadership roles in all the companies that he has founded. And he acknowledged the allegation, but only admitted to, quote, being thoughtless and insensitive in some of my relationships over many decades.
That doesn't seem strong enough.
No, certainly doesn't. But
a lot of these guys, and we were just talking about this with Geraldo Rivera last hour, a lot of these guys who are quick to defend the gropers have a little groping going on in their own past.
It has seemed like a pattern that has come out. Well, he has been dropped by JCPenney, one of his fashion brands, was there. And HBO has removed his name from his stand-up series, All Deaf Comedy, which is set to premiere tonight. So, interesting things happening. And Kevin, we talked about it before, but in case you guys missed it, calendar is set. The date has a big old heart around it.
This
it is
so exciting,
Saturday,
you guys.
May 26th. And don't worry, you guys, it's Memorial Day weekend. So you might have a long weekend to prepare.
And recover.
And recover. You are right, Bean. For Prince Harry.
A lot of recovery time after this.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will be saying their I do's live on television. Yep, it's true.
Oh, don't be against true love.
Can happen.
Come on.
I'm fine with true love.
Windsor
Castle. But do I need to see that? I mean, are we.
And it's going to be one of those all-day events, right?
It's going to be all 6 months. Don't you think, like,
oh, sure.
On the
leading
morning
up to
shows
it, sure.
And stuff, they're all going to say, what's the dress? Oh, what, look at the flowers.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Let me give you some intrigue, though, about this wedding that I think you might.
Yes,
I know, Allie, you will
please.
Be interested in this. And that is that the Queen may not attend because she is the head of the Church of England who does not recognize divorce. And Meghan Markle is divorced. And therefore, she may miss her own grandson's wedding because of that.
She's a bitch.
Well, she could be.
Yeah,
I can
that's
understand
true.
That.
I'm going with that.
But she also, you know, she has a responsibility on the one side and she's got family on the other. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sure we'll know ahead of time whether that's going to happen or not. But that is one point to keep your eyes peeled for.
She does know that her son's divorced. Like, the whole reason for a lot of the church was because of divorce.
Right.
Like, oh, we created this so you could. Are you kidding me? Give me a break.
I love the royal family and everything they stand for.
I know you do.
That's what I know.
I know
she
you
didn't
do.
Go to Charles's second wedding for the same reason.
Interesting. But in case you're wondering how many people watched the last royal wedding between William and Kate Middleton, well, that was around 23 million Americans and 27 million Brits. So they're thinking those numbers are going to be even bigger because Meghan Markle's one of us.
Mm-hmm.
She's Merkin. It's all just insane. It's
very
crazy.
Exciting. Very exciting times.
Really is. Really,
really
is.
Excited about this. Can't wait.
But, I mean, he is the hot one in the family, right?
Hope the coverage starts this weekend.
Because his dad's not Prince Charles, right?
Right.
Who's with me? Hey, let's talk about some birthdays. It's your favorite. Bette Midler, she's 72. Actress, comedian Sarah Silverman is 47. Emily Mortimer, 46. Riz Ahmed is 35. Janelle Monáe is 32. And Zoe Kravitz is turning 29. I'm Allie McKay with your showbiz.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with our friend Stryker's commercial free-for-all. You know what that is? It's an hour of commercials starting at 5 p.m. right here on the world-famous
K-Rock. An hour's worth of commercials?
An hour of commercials?
That's a commercial
that you want to tune in for.
An hour's worth of music by request is what I meant.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
You know, that's very different, right? Those
it's
words
not
that
the same.
Hand over to me.
Not an hour of commercials at 5. Nope.
Music request, yeah, my bad.
Don't bogart the joint, my
friend.
It's
like commercial
friend.
Free.
Right, really? Right.
Pass it over to me.
That's not responsible broadcasting.
Like, free a commercial.
Roll another one.
Here's my thought. I don't care.
Just like the other one.
The Christmas break can't come
this
soon enough.
This one seems to be a rock quit.
Hercules, Hercules.
And I need another year.
Come on, Ed. There's got to be a catch.
There's no catch.
Yeah!
Roll.
myself.
Just like the other one.
I'm in love with the story.
This one seems to be about cement.
They call her Pocahontas.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like it?
That is fantastic.
Yeah. Just pass it around.
Once you get it in your mouth, it's hard.
Well, don't hold on that joint, my friend.
Well, that sounds bad when you say it like that.
Well, just pass it on down.
Do you even go to this school?
No. I just have a lot of feelings.
Okay, go home.
All right. I think we're good here. I think that's enough.
What?
That's
what are you
enough.
Talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Time to go. It's enough.
This will be investigated. This has to end. This behavior is wrong. Period.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's right. As Dr. Martin Luther King once said...
No,
no. No is right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.